In the book, The Witches of Eastwick, which is by one of my favorite authors, John Updike, it's a strange, odd novel written in 1984. There is a character in there who is sort of a symbol for the devil. He's taken human form, and his name is Daryl Van Horn. You may have seen the movie. He was played by Jack Nicholson in the movie. The movie doesn't have a whole lot to do with the book. But they did get that character right, at least. And this Daryl Van Horn comes into the church on a Sunday morning and decides to give a sermon in church. You see, the devil has fallen in love and gotten married, and his newlywed wife is dying in a hospital just down the road. And the devil preaches this Sunday service. And the title of his sermon is, "This Creation is Terrible." And instead of using the scriptures as his text, he uses a dictionary. And he goes through different entries in the dictionary, talking about all the terrible things that you can find in creation. Natural things, centipedes that have poisonous fangs, talks about tarantulas. He talks about diseases that you can die from and awful things that can happen to you and different parasites. And at the end of the sermon, the devil says, "Next time, vote for me, because they got it wrong this time." It's an interesting idea that this world in which we live is messed up, and the devil is threatening, is trying to say that God has not made a world that works the way it should. And the subject matter of the devil's sermon in The Witches of Eastwick is the same subject matter of this prophet Habakkuk from 700 years before Jesus was born. It's the same question that we've all asked ourselves time and again. If God is all good, and we believe that he is, and if God is all in control, which we believe that he is, how can there be anything in this world that is outside of God's power? Even tapeworms and roundworms and cholera, even tarantulas and snakes, poison, diabetes, cancer, you name it, God has to be in control somewhere. Yet if God is who we think he is, how can the evil in this world survive or even thrive? And it is interesting to me that the prophet Habakkuk, preaching 700 years before the birth of Jesus, does not question God based on his doubt, but he questions God based on his faith. His first question that he asks God is, "How long, O Lord, must I call to you for help, but you do not listen? How long, O God, must I cry out to you about violence, but you do not save?" It is Habakkuk's faith that causes him to question God, not his doubt, not his disbelief. You know, people who don't read the Bible very often find it unbelievable that anyone would question God in this way. Yet the Bible is full of examples, Habakkuk being one of them, but the Psalms are full of them as well, where people don't meekly and mousily wait for an answer to their questions. Job is another one that comes to mind. They go to God and they say, "God, what are you doing? This world isn't the way I thought it was supposed to be." Habakkuk hungers and thirsts for righteousness and demands an answer from God. And that is his faith. He demands that God speak to him. And in verses 5 through 11, which we skipped this morning, God has an answer of sorts. God's answer is, "I'm going to do something. I will do something that you haven't seen before, because I am the Lord, and you know that my promises are sure." And then God says to Habakkuk, "I want you to write it down while you're waiting. I want you to write down what your hope is. I want you to write down that someday I will act, but not on your timetable, not on your schedule, but on mine." And notice what Habakkuk does. This is a short book. It's only 3 chapters long, and it's got some of the best poetry and prophecy in the Old Testament. Habakkuk goes up to the guard tower in the city, and he watches. He stands guard on the watchtower and watches for God to act. Now, if Habakkuk had had no faith, he wouldn't have done what God told him to do. If Habakkuk had been a doubter, he would have climbed down out of that guard tower, and he would have went to bed. He would have went home where it was more comfortable, where he could get 3 square meals a day, where he could get 8 hours of rest a night. But instead, because he has faith, he climbs up to the guard tower, and he stands there and waits, and he writes down, "Someday God's promise will come true. I don't know when, I don't know where, but I shall wait for it and pray for it again and again and again. And if it takes the rest of my life to do this, I shall wait for it." You see, we live in a world that has a terrible definition of faith. That would not be seen, Habakkuk's deed of going up to the watchtower and just waiting there would not be seen as an act of faith. Faith is hawked on television and in popular culture as what? As having all the answers. Christians come off as having an answer for everything, that we know the answers to every question. Just ask me a question, I'll shoot an answer back at you. And if there are genuine questions that Christians truly can't answer, like why do bad things happen to good people, then the world says, well, Christianity must not be all that what it's cracked up to be. People walk away. Faith, they think, must be worthless if it can't provide the answers. So on the one hand, we've got this tension between off-putting smugness about the crises of the day, or on the other hand, a religion that just doesn't seem to have any use. And so people either reject the faith, or they go the other direction and have an answer for everything. Yet that's not how the Bible understands faith. Faith in the Bible and in the book of Habakkuk is not about having all the answers. There are very few answers in that book. Habakkuk does not get an answer to God. His question is, how long before you're going to do something, God? And God's answer is, I'm going to do something when I get ready to do it. He doesn't answer the question. It's like when you were talking to your mom and dad, and you used to say, hey, mom, hey, dad, when are we going to do that? And they would say, oh, pretty soon. Well, when's pretty soon? When I say it is, right? I know I've used that before. This is the same thing. It's not an answer exactly, but in a way it is. Faith in the Bible and in Habakkuk is not about having all the answers. It is having trust in God. Faith in the Bible is not about having all the answers. It is about having trust in God. Too many of us despair. We can't see hope. Yet Jesus in the New Testament lesson says, if you had faith the size of a mustard seed, you could say to this mulberry tree, be uprooted and planted in the sea, and it would obey you. Jesus says that all we need is a little bit of faith and to stick with it. And marvelous, miraculous things will happen. I don't know if you've ever heard of the Millennium Development Goals. This is something that I've been following for several years now. UNICEF in 1990 decided that they wanted to take a proactive approach to children under 5 years old in the world being fed and being cared for, because many, many children in 1990 were dying from diseases that could be prevented, malnutrition, things that they had inoculations for, they just weren't getting the inoculations, all sorts of waterborne diseases. So they wanted to cut down the number of preventable diseases worldwide. And this Millennium Development Goal is a partnership between UNICEF, which you've heard of, Save the Children, the American Red Cross, Salvation Army, Disney has donated money to this, BP, Microsoft, Kiwanis, Lions, the March of Dimes, many, many churches, including ours. And their whole mission has been to reduce preventable deaths by disease or malnutrition worldwide for children under five. When this work started in 1990, 34,000 children under 5 died every day in some sort of way that could have been prevented had they had access to modern medicine or to clean water or that sort of thing. Today, because of that partnership, it is under 18,000. Was 34,000 in 1990. It's under 18,000 now. And their goal, they're not even at their goal yet. They want to finish this up by 2015. So they've got a couple years left to get it significantly lower. And I would put to you that the Millennium Development Goals is a sign of faith. That it's not having all the answers. Those people don't have the answers on how to eliminate childhood deaths under 5. They have some of the answers, but they don't have all of the answers. They want to get it down to 0. Is that even possible? We don't know. We don't know if that's possible, but we know it's a goal we can shoot for. That is faith. It's not having all the answers, but it is having the patience, the endurance, the wherewithal, not to let others write the agenda. So this morning, when we are celebrating communion with our Christian brothers and sisters around the world, I can guarantee you that there are some children around there, around the world, who would not be alive this morning if it weren't for the Millennium Development Goal, and that they partook of communion because of that very goal. That today, when we are united with people across the globe, I can guarantee you that some of them would not be alive this morning if it weren't for those steps taken to overcome poverty, hunger, and disease. Faith helps us to overcome our denominational and political differences. Faith helps us to discover that this money that we give in our offering on Sunday mornings does make a difference, and that in our giving, it overcomes insufficiency. That somebody is alive today because of the offering that you give. The world tells us that you've heard this story before. You've seen the commercials, dying children looking sad and starving. That it never gets any better. That's not faith. That's not even realism. It's doubt. Doubting that Jesus can do what he claims. It's doubting that God can work in all kinds of conditions and states of affairs in all kinds of nations and countries. And there we are with Habakkuk, standing guard, keeping watch. Under his gaze, Habakkuk will watch us take communion today. He will watch our sisters and brothers in the Philippines take communion as well, in South Africa, in Lesotho, in Hungary, in Iraq, in Syria, in Turkey. We can take Jesus Christ as our example. Never giving up, talking to God, challenging God, pushing God, and even more important, waiting in faith for God. Being on watch, on guard duty. And saying to other people, look, here's a good work. Here's a sign of God's goodness. Did you know that those who've died under 5 has almost been cut in half? Here's a sign of God's grace. Here's a sign of Christ's work. Here's the sign of Jesus working in someone's heart. Pointing out those mustard seed moments and saying, God is working in this world. Praise be to God. Amen.